This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3812, for Tuesday, the 14th of March 2023. Today's show is entitled, Peepaw's Computer Does Nothing. It is hosted by Brian in Ohio, and is about 25 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, a Z80 no-op test.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. Brian in Ohio here. I'm out from under my rock. I'm doing part two of the Z80 computer build. And as you can tell by the title, today's show is Peepaw's Computer Does Nothing. And what that means, of course, if you don't know who Peepaw is, that's me. That's who my two-year-old grandson calls me, Peepaw. And he's the impetus, the reason that I'm doing this project and chronicling it here on HPR, and that's so that maybe one day in the future he, or it turns out now his brother who's in the oven, or maybe his cousin who's also in the oven, maybe one of those three, or maybe all three, or what, who knows, will someday in the future one or all of those kids will want to hang out with their old grandpa and learn how a computer works by building one themselves. So here I am learning it to do myself beforehand, getting ready. And so in the last episode, I put together the one piece of test equipment that I needed, which is a logic probe, because I'm going to initially spool up this Z80 system using the facilities of an Arduino Mega board to emulate ROM and RAM, and also to provide that some test equipment like a logic probe, so I can program the system when I provide the required things to see if it's up and running. And so what's required initially is a power clock signal and some data. And the data I'm going to give it give the Z80 is provided by the Arduino Mega board, which will be the machine code, which has the opcode of 0. So the Z80 has about 180 instructions that it recognizes. They're all hexadecimal coded, and it 00 to the processor when it sees that. That's a no-op. It means do nothing and move on to the next instruction. And in this case, because the address lines aren't going to be hooked up to anything, it's not hooked up to any memory, it's just going to think that it's gone from one memory location to another, and it's just going to find another no-op. And so that's why this is called a no-op test. You're just getting the computer up and running and having it do exactly nothing. So a couple things just to make sure, just to clarify, I'm using an Arduino Mega board, but it's not the Arduino environment. I'm running Flash 4th on it. And why would I use Flash 4th to do this instead of the Arduino environment? Because Flash 4th is interactive without being a huge application in itself. There's other interactive languages that run on Arduino boards, things like CircuitPython, but they're huge compared to the size of a 4th virtual machine. And also, it's 4th is really geared towards manipulating things at the bare metal level, being able to dig into the registers and control whatever computer it's on at a very foundational level without any abstraction layers in between, except the ones you build yourselves by defining words. Why am I using the Arduino Mega board instead of the Arduino Uno board? It's because the Arduino, which has the Atmega 328 chip, and that has to do with the fact that the Arduino Mega board has oodles and oodles of I/O. It's got tons of ports, tons of available ports that I can manipulate to interact with the Z80 chip. It should be a snap to do it with this board. So the microcontroller board, like I said, is going to give the 5 volts, the clock signal, and the data to get the Z80 up and running. It's also going to provide the logic probe so we can test to see that it is running. So I wired up a proto shield that plugged into the board. First thing I did, and I've got pictures in the show notes to show all this stuff, is I hot glued a solderless breadboard onto the Arduino Mega proto shield, and then I plugged in the Z80, and the first wire that's shown by itself is a white wire, and that's the actual logic probe. That's from the last episode. I can plug that in onto the different pins of Z80 and see if things are happening or not. The next picture just shows power and ground being connected. I split the power wire so I can have a rudimentary on-off switch. The next picture, there's a picture. Picture number 3 is with the blue wire. That's a clock signal. And then the next one, picture number 4, shows their yellow lines that are the control lines. The interrupt, the non-maskable interrupt, the wait signal, the bus request, and the reset signals. Those are all signals that are inputs to the Z80 to help control what's going on. Then the orange wires are all the data bus. They go up to port A on the Arduino Mega board. And the address lines then are, I put a little silver dot on the chip to show where pin 1 is. And so from where the clock chip is, which is pin 6, up and around clockwise, those unconnected pins are on the Z80 chip are all address lines, and the one that we're most interested in is the one at A0, which is next to the ground line, and next to that black wire, and that's the one we'll be probing once we start this, because Z80 goes through memory space, it's going to put each individual starting at 0 and working up all the way up to 65,000 binary 16-bit data addresses. And so that pin should be cycling between 0 and 1 the most of all those pins. And so if I see activity on that pin, then I'm pretty confident that the chip is up and running. So that's the hardware side of the test we're going to do today. On the software side, I fixed some of the fourth words in the code that I presented in the last episode. It's kind of good. HPR it helps you to when you post something, and then even after the fact, I was looking it over and I saw that I'd made some mistakes, and I refactored some of the words, broke them apart, and I defined some new words, and that listing is in the show notes too. And so the fix I made was that the data processing word as defined was getting when it sensed that it was a static, either a high or a low signal, it was probing the wrong point. It was probing the output of pin H3 digital 6, I think it is, on the digital 6 are doing a Mega board. And what I really wanted to look at was what was the input into pin E, the logic probe, that white wire. So I changed that. I changed the output there too on the data processing word. I really don't care what frequency it is. I just changed the word to just output, if it's pulsing, to just say it's pulsing. Put on the serial terminal pulse. The word pulse, because I'm not interested in specific frequencies. I split the clock and the logic init words so that I can initialize the clock registers and on the AVR chip, and I could, and the same for the logic probe, just split it into 2 words. I added some words to control the reset line. Those words are reset and run. Reset takes the reset pin from a high level state, which is in the run mode, and takes it to a low level state. So almost all control signals on the Z80 are active low. So when they're driven to ground, driven to zero voltage, they become active and do what they're supposed to do. So when you take the reset line and drive it to ground, then the chip is in a reset mode. And I added one more to be able to single step the clock. So I can start and stop the clock with those words, start clock and stop clock. And I can change the frequency of the clock by putting a number and then calling the word set frequency. But I also wanted to be able to single step the Z80 chip so that we can probe around and look to see some other signals to see what's happening, because like all computers, this Z80 has a very systematic way of functioning, and what it does is it initially reads in from the data, looks for and interprets that first bit of data as some kind of instruction, and then if that instruction needs more data, it goes and fetches it, and then it processes it. And so there's different signals that come alive in that process, because each instruction for the Z80 takes between, I think it's like 4 and 20 clock cycles, depending on how long and how much data it needs. Enough explanation. I can do the test here. I've got the board plugged in. I've got my serial terminal. I've got a serial terminal with flash forth running. I'm at the flash forth prompt, and the first thing I'll do is I'll get the logic probe up and running by typing the word logic probe init. And when I do that, it says okay. And then I am going to get the microcontroller board set up, the ports on it. And so that's going to be, let me look at my code. I can't remember exactly. Z80 ports in it. Basically what this does is it sets up those interconnections between the Z80 and the Arduino Mega board with all those wires. All those things that it's connected to, it's setting up them up correctly as either inputs or output ports. And so that is the word Z80 ports init. And hit that, it's okay. And then now I add some power to the Z80 chip. And so I just plugged in 5 volts on the board. And now I should be able to, the clock should be started. So I should be able to take my white logic probe and put it where the blue wire is. And I should be able to type the word sample in. And I'm expecting to see the word pulse output. And I do. And I can double check that that's actually working. I can go stop clock. I'm going to stop the clock. And now I'm going to do another sample of it, of the pin. And I'm in the wrong place. Put this into the right place. There we go. I should be able to get, sample. Okay, so I never initialized the clock. I never typed in clock init. So now I typed in clock init, which initializes the clock, and now I can start the clock, and I can sample, and if I can type correctly, sample, it comes out pulse, and then I can stop the clock. and I can sample, and now it shows that it's a low, it's not pulsing, it's a low signal, and I can start the clock again. And now, the next thing to probe is, I'm gonna take the logic probe wire, the white wire out from where the clock is, the blue line, and I'm gonna put it over in the A0 line, which is that empty pin right next to the ground wire. And I am going to sample there. And I get a high signal. So what I need to do is I need to properly reset the board, which I'll just type in the words reset and run. And then I should be able to sample. And I get a pulse. So on the A0 pin, it's pulsing. And if I stop the clock, stop the clock, and now I sample, it's just a high because it's not, the clock stopped and you need a functioning clock for it to work. So that to me is a good indication that the Z80 chip is behaving properly, that it's that the wiring and all everything is connected correctly. And so now one other thing I can check is I can check the M1 line. M1 line is right next to the I should make sure I've got a image of the got the image of the Z80 chip, the pinout of the chip, in the show notes. And yeah, M1 is actually right next to reset. So one over. So the way is this, the order of things that happen when the Z80 starts functioning when you first reset it. So what happens is you bring power up, you reset the Z80, it puts it in a no good state. It puts the program counter to zero. It puts address zero on the address bus, and then it then draws M1 low, and M1 is just a signal. It draws the M1 signal low, and that's the indication that it's starting the first part of what they call a machine cycle. Machine cycle is everything it takes to complete, to get an instruction, whatever data needs, and then finish it, and then it signals all this by first off bringing the M1 line low. And so the way to check that that's actually happening is to go back to the terminal, and the clock is right now stopped. So I'm not going to start the clock. I'm going to single step the clock. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to reset. I'm going to single step the step. I'm going to single step and then sample the pin, and I should see it high. And I'll do that a couple times because it takes 3 clock cycles for the chip to be properly reset. So here we go, I'll do that one more time. And now I'm going to put the reset line into the run mode. And now I'm gonna single step again and sample. And the M1 signal pin is still high, that clock signal. And now, one more clock signal. And now it went low. It's the beginning of a machine cycle. And if I clock it a couple of times, it'll go back to high. And so I know that the M1 signal is working. And so with the address zero pulsing, that it has activity on the address bus, and with the M1 signal cycling the way it is, I'm pretty confident that this Z80 chip is good, and that it was a good no-op test for that chip. And so I think that covers, let me look at my notes here. Oh, there was one more thing we can do. And then that'll be the end. It'll be the last signal to probe. And this one is going to be the halt signal. When the Z80 encounters a halt signal, it actually halts the processor and does no ops internally until it receives an interrupt signal. And the halt signal, again, is active, I believe it's active low also, and it's on pin number 18 of the chip. So I'm going to put the logic probe into pin 18, and I'm going to do the same exact process. I'm going to reset the chip. So start with by putting it in, I'll put it in reset, and then I will cycle the clock and sample a few times here. And now this time, what's going to be different is I'm going to put the hex address of 76, hex 76, on the data bus. And so when I start to run the program, instead of finding on the data bus at address zero a no op, a machine instruction zero, the Z80 is going to find on the data bus the machine instruction 76, which is halt. And when it does that, we should see when I sample that pin, the halt signal, it should go low. So let's do that. Let's put 76 into the data port, and I do that by typing in 76 data, $76, which is the hex notation in fourth for hex numbers, $76, and then the word data, which is the data port, and I'm going to do C store, which is C and an exclamation point. That'll store the number 76 onto the data port. And I got the wrong thing. What's it called? Maybe I got the wrong word, the wrong thing. It's called, what is it called? Yeah. Oh, it's capitals, duh. Case sensitive. This fourth is case sensitive. So 76, capital DATA, C store, which will store the values, the hex value 76 into the data port, and I get okay. And now I'm going to sample and step and sample the clock, and because it's nothing there. Okay, now I'm going to put the Z80 into run mode, and now I'm going to step and sample and do it a few times because it'll take about four or five or six to get there. And there, now the pin 20, the signal on pin 18 went from high to low. And that to me, because it found that 76 on the data bus, it executed the instruction halt. And now the Z80 is in a halt mode. So if I start the clock now, which I'm going to do, and I sample, it should stay low. It should stay low now completely, and it'll stay low until I reset it or give it an interrupt signal, which I'm not going to do. And so there you go. Looks like I've got a functioning, a good Z80 chip. I have learned a little bit about how to manipulate a couple of instructions, the no-op instruction and the halt instruction, and put them on the data bus and get the Z80 to respond accordingly. And I was able to see all those things by using the logic probe that it's built into the software on the Arduino mega board that's running Flash 4th. So consider this a successful experiment. I think I'm not sure where to go from here. I think the next thing to do would be to maybe do a longer a set of instructions, a small program, and maybe even I might have to add some LEDs or something. We'll see, or at least put out some numbers onto the serial ports, so we can see get some output that way, and that'll require emulating some RAM. Emulating some read-only memory. So that'll be the next step in this project. So thanks for listening. If you have any questions or comments, go ahead and leave them in the show notes, or you can email me. And if you or if you're interested in retro computers or doing something like this yourself, pick up a mic and start recording a show and upload it to Hacker Public Radio. And if you and anyway, thanks for listening. I appreciate your attention. And I'd just like to remind everybody that it's not how much an item costs, it's how much you save. Goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.